morning. Michael Malice here with the hump day edition of Nightshade for you to cross the desert with. Lot to cover today, and I'm going to try to get through it as quickly but coherently as possible. Our first big story is the meltdown in England is continuing. This is regarding Theresa May and Brexit. Theresa May, she has said there is a clear majority against the no-deal Brexit, which is the legal default that the UK is going to leave without a deal on March 29th. This sentence literally has the word no deal three times in it. And I had to edit it as we get along. They will now get a vote. Parliament is going to get a vote on delaying Brexit, the Prime Minister said. That vote will take place tomorrow. And if it's passed and the EU agrees to it, the UK will not leave the EU as planned on March 29th. And you know what that means. If they're not going to leave on the 29th, they're going to end up not leaving. Watch. She said there could be a short delay to implement a deal agreed to in the next few days, or a longer delay if no agreement is reached. The government tabled a motion to prevent the UK from exiting the EU on the 29th of March without a withdrawal agreement. But before they voted on that, they backed an amendment which was put forth by Labour's Yvette Cooper rejecting a no-deal Brexit under any circumstances, and that was by 4 votes. This dramatic development led the government ordering Conservative members of Parliament to vote against its own motion. But the government motion, as amended, passed 321 votes to 278, not even close, which is reinforcing the message that members of Parliament do not want to leave the EU without some sort of a deal. Here's Theresa May, very hoarse, with her comments on this. Let's play this.
House has today provided a clear majority against leaving without a deal. However, I will repeat what I have said before. The legal default in UK and EU law remains that the UK will leave the EU without a deal unless.
The thing is, they're yelling at her, but she's right. Like, she pushed forth the Brexit. She pressed the button. They're saying, okay, we've got this bill. We don't like it. Fine. The button's been pushed. That's not how it works. You can't just say, well, we don't like it. That's tough. And she's not even saying this a good thing or a bad thing. She's saying, legally, that's where we're at. And they're flipping their shit at her. And you know what? This woman, I tweeted this out today, she's taking such a beating these last few weeks. It's like Chris Brown is the head of the opposition. Like, play some more of this.
Unless something else is agreed. The onus is now on every one of us in this house to find out what that is. The options before us are the same as they always have been. We could leave with the deal which this government has negotiated over the past 2 years. We could leave with the deal we have negotiated but subject to a second referendum. But that would risk no Brexit at all. Damaging the fragile trust between the British public.
What a madhouse.
Damaging the fragile trust between the British public and the members of this House. We could seek to negotiate a different deal. However, the EU has been clear that the deal on the table is indeed the only deal available. Mr. Speaker, I also confirmed last night that if the House declined to approve leaving without a deal on the 29th of March 2019, the government would bring forward a motion on whether the House supports seeking to agree an extension to Article 50 with the EU, which is the logical consequence of the votes over the past 2 days in this House. The Leader of the House will shortly make an emergency business statement confirming the change to tomorrow's business.
All right, so
the motion will table will set out the fundamental choice facing this House. If the House finds a way in the coming days to support a deal, it would allow the government to seek a short, limited technical extension to Article 50 to provide time to pass the necessary legislation and ratify the agreement we have reached with the EU.
Wait, okay, that's enough
but
of this.
Let me
this kind of speaks to the whole Jefferson-Hamilton argument when this country was founded. When Hamilton said the national debt's a blessing, to this day, people are like, oh my God, that's crazy. And his whole point, he was a nationalist. He wanted America to be one country, not 13 little countries, kind of like the UN, loosely connected. And in his point of view, if you have a debt and everyone's currency is intermingled, you can't undo that. It's asymmetrical. And this is what they're seeing with the EU, even though Britain's not on the pound, on the euro, obviously, they're still on the pound. Their currencies aren't intermingled, but they're trying to leave, and it's a lot easier to join than it is to leave. It's not the same difficulty. So this is what she's saying. She had promised the Conservative MPs a free vote, meaning they didn't have to follow the orders of party managers, but after they voted for Labour's Yvette Cooper's amendment, they were ordered to vote against the government motion. And some ministers who are against a no-deal Brexit abstained, meaning ministers are people who are serving in her cabinet, which normally would have meant they'd have to quit the government. It's like, you know what? I'm not doing what the prime minister says. I'm sitting in her cabinet. I'm resigning, because I mean that's effectively resignation, saying I'm not going to follow the prime minister and I'm there to be one of her ministers. They also voted by 374 to 164, a huge majority, to reject a plan to delay the UK's departure from the EU until May 22nd, so that there can be what its supporters call a managed no deal. So basically any possible solution to this, as I've said on this show many times, any possible solution to this carnage and chaos is not, none of them has the capacity to reach a majority. So this is really, it's like speed. You know, it's like you can't slow down the bus, but you don't know how to get off it. The amendment had been proposed by Theresa May's former second in command, Damien Green, Conservative, and was backed by Conservative Brexiteers and Remainers. It was known as the Malthouse Compromise after Kit Malthouse, the government minister who devised it. And Jeremy Corbyn, who is the head of Labour, said that Parliament must now take control of the Brexit process, and his party, the Labour Party, will work across the House of Commons to seek a compromise solution. That is, I mean, they're approaching that date really quick. And I mean, my God, this is going to be complete. I mean, I like the carnage, but it's one thing to like it theoretically, it's another thing to like it in real life. But seeing what it looks like, none of us has any idea. This is unprecedented. So it's kind of cool to watch, especially from the safety across the pond. So good luck with that, Eurocox. Well, here's a story that is much closer to home that you guys probably haven't heard unless you're from New York, because it's a local story. We have the picture. A black transgender Bronx woman, who I assume don't need no man, armed with a blade, faced hate crime charges for allegedly pepper spraying strangers on the street and yelling, "I fucking hate white people." Her name is Thomas Hurd. Thomas. Thomas Hurd. Sure. She allegedly attacked a husband and a wife who were shopping at East 187th Street at about 2 p.m. this past Friday. She kicked the 55-year-old man, pepper sprayed him in the face, and told them, "I fucking hate white people." The next day, she struck again four blocks away. Hurd approached a couple walking near her apartment on Crotona Avenue Saturday, 4:30 p.m., asked the 24-year-old woman, "Are you white?" and pepper sprayed her in the face. You know, you're on the phone. Hold on. What is it? Are you white? Yeah, I'm white. Well, that's my karma. Police heard also pulled a blade and threatened the woman's 30-year-old boyfriend before she ran off. None of the victims in either incident needed medical attention, and police are now investigating whether Hurd sprayed seven white victims with an unknown substance in Manhattan on Friday, several hours before that first Bronx attack. Now, a woman had sprayed a 29-year-old man in the face on the 2 and 3 platform station on 125th Street in Harlem around 11:50 a.m. The same woman then doused four women and a man above ground on the street, and about an hour later, the mystery sprayer spritzed God damn it, I love the Post. A 30-year-old woman in the face on the platform at the 96th Street 123 stop on the Upper West Side. Medics took two victims to Mount Sinai, where they were treated and released. And early Saturday morning, cops released surveillance photos and video of the suspect. Later on Saturday, an hour after the last Bronx attack, cops nabbed Heard. I don't know if she was screaming about being misgendered. I'm sure they called her ma'am. She was hit with a slew of charges, including assault as a hate crime, weapon possession, menacing, and harassment. Heard, who had not been charged in the Manhattan attacks, was awaiting arraignment in the Bronx Saturday afternoon. And cops say she has over 60 previous arrests, most of them for prostitution, public lewdness, and turnstile jumping. All right. Well, that seems fine. This is. You can see everything. I wish we had a. Can we have a Burning Bridges background? Because I feel like I want to do that, like Kevin Brennan has.
I would, but I've never watched that show, so I have no idea what it looks like.
Well, no, the background is a burning bridge, right? If you could change the background here to Kevin's set, then I could hold up the smug and say this is fine, like that dog in the picture we all like so much. It's okay. It's not a big deal. I'm sure it's is it a big deal? Okay, let's do this. I have to do it in profile, right? Which way does the dog go? The dog faces to the right. Yeah, there it is. This way. This is fine. There we go. You can't see the burning because of me, but whatever. All right, back to business. And there's more. This is good science news. This made me very, 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 very excited. Are we skipping the mammoth story? Did I not include it?
That, you have that as the fourth one.
Oh, what's the third one?
Twitter.
Oh, you're right. Yeah, okay. Then I've got six stories?
Yep.
Oh, I did the math wrong. Okay. Okay, this is a big one. Can we change the background back? I don't want people to think I'm Kevin. My God, I've got some clout in this network. Next thing you know, Gino's going to be fucking screaming at me from the couch, and some blind guy is going to be spurging out to my left, just like during the Arduous March, which is a joke. I am actually a huge fan of Brian, and I think he's not only a great sport, but really, really funny. And when he flipped out, go watch Burning Bridges on Monday. I don't blame him, because that was my big fear during the Arduous March, that Gino would not shut up, and I'm a fan of Gino's as well. Okay, Twitter is rolling out a new prototype that executives say is designed, the executives lie, saying the social media platform is going to be a friendlier environment for people to navigate. They offer the public a new prototype for the app, which includes a variety of changes. Here's how. The new version is, and it's like, someone tweeted this out or retweeted, it's like, hey, Twitter, do you guys want changes? Sure. Do you want to hear what kind of changes we want? Oh, no. It's just there's the edit button. There's just no pretense that they care about what the users like. And what they actually want to do is, how can we manipulate and control the conversation on Twitter so that the result ends up looking like what we want it to look like, which is not illegal, which is not immoral, which is a perfectly fine way to run a business if that is how you want to run your business. But at the same time, it's don't say you're for open conversation. This version is going to be centered around a format for conversations and color-coded replies, and it's supposedly going to be more intuitive for users. Threading of tweets is a little counterintuitive, and it always goes reply all, not in a very intuitive way. So that's a good improvement. Here's the thing. It also removes engagement counts, showing how many retweets or like a tweet receives. Why? Because there's something called the ratio. For those of you who don't know, there's someone tweeted out, I forget who, the concept of a ratio is a great metric of how shitty a good tweet is. Because if a tweet has, let's suppose, 5 likes and 1,000 comments, you know that tweet is a piece of crap. Because when people start yelling as opposed to liking it or retweeting it, and that's across the board. It's open to the public, obviously, so it's not just going to be your audience. That is telling you this tweet is really fucked up and you should feel bad. But of course, the blue checks, people who are verified, including myself, very often, they're in television, they're in studio, they're in radio, they can run their mouths, and they never have any responsibility for it. On Twitter, they're interacting with their public. So when they spout their bullshit takes, and the public's like, this is such crap, they feel bad. And it's upsetting. They have consequences for their chicanery. I don't think I've ever gotten ratioed. Even my troll tweets don't get ratioed. Maybe once. And you'll get ratioed, obviously, if you ask a question, but that doesn't count as a ratio per se. But look, now they want to hide it. And that's the other thing. It's also very important to the users. First of all, it's a lot of fun. If you're starting out on Twitter and you have a tweet that gets popular, it's fun, number one. Number two is, it's also good feedback. If you put out something that's interesting, oh, people think this is interesting. And if you put out something that's garbage, you're like, okay, people don't want me to talk about this, or this is not as interesting as I think it is. It's extremely good feedback. But no, why would we want feedback from a site? Why would we want people to have feedback on how they use a site? That's not going to help make the site improve in quality. So this change is supposed to make the platform friendlier and stamp down the possibility of trolling. Okay. You don't want... They trolled a president into the White House, and now they're going to do everything in their fucking power to make sure trolling can't work again. But every single time corporations try to fight trolls, it backfires on them very badly, because then you have the people who are trolling for political purposes, and then you have the people who are trolling just because they think it's funny for some corporate shit to be losing their minds. Keith Coleman, whose Twitter's Twitter's head of consumer products, said, "We're also actually working on changing the product and changing the policies to improve the health of the conversations." He was referring to the ways the company could prevent the spread of hoaxes and conspiracy theories. These are all code words for people that we don't like. Now remember, this is in the movie Hoaxed by Cernovich. It's perfectly fine to have people say that Donald Trump is literally mentally ill and should be removed from the White House and cause a constitutional crisis. That's perfectly fine. That's in the realm of the Overton window, what's respectable. If you question Hillary's health, even though she's passing out with a breeze, that's a hoax and a conspiracy theory. Do you see how that works? So a conspiracy theory, and I talk about this in the upcoming book, is an idea that you don't like, that a lot of people you don't like are brainstorming about. Company executives are also introducing new features to enhance pictures and video on the app, trying to make it more like Instagram and Snapchat. And the new photo feature also uses deep learning to determine a user's whereabouts. Great. That's great. That's what we need more. It knows where you are and what's going on around you. So if you're at South by Southwest, it knows that. And it will suggest you add the South by Southwest hashtag. Twitter's changes come after Facebook announced March 6th that would also make substantial changes. The move would shift Facebook's focus from a social network to a platform that people use to communicate with smaller groups, and their content disappears after a short period of time. That's wonderful. Why have it be a timeline of your life when you could have it be Snapchat? It's not like Snapchat exists. Facebook focuses mostly on stoking public conversation, but it also owns closed networks like WhatsApp. So Mark Zuckerberg has made similar promises to focus more on privacy concerns, but the company continues to get bogged down in controversies. And Twitter's also has faced similar problems in the past. Recent media reports show groups use the platform to spread misinformation ahead of the midterm elections. Groups. What kind of misinformation? Who? It's easy to forget. Only 4 years ago, 2016, when it was a given that Hillary Clinton was going to win, it was a given. There was the idea of fake news and social media. And they were waiting. As soon as she got in that fucking White House, put her hand in the Bible, burnt the skin off, you know, a little bit, to crack down on people who defied the media narrative, because they are fake news, they shouldn't be heard, they're confusing people. People are getting the wrong impression that we're the good, they're thinking like we're the bad guys. Or that maybe it's a little complicated. There's both sides have good and bad in politics, or that there's more than two sides. We can't have that. That's fake news. So this is some real bullshit. The other hand, I really want to stress this. All the people, in my view, who are obsessed with we gotta legislate, We got to regulate all this other stuff. These are creating huge opportunities for competitors, and not just a conservative Twitter, whatever the fuck that means, but entirely new ways to have social media in the same way. We've seen this. When I was a kid, if you wanted to buy an album, you had to buy the whole album. They weren't letting you allow that buy that one song. And everyone's like, why am I paying? And then the price of CDs kept going up and up and up to $18. And it's like, why the fuck am I paying $18 when I just want to hear this one song? I will gladly pay you for the song. I want to pay you. I don't want to steal whatever you call it from this artist. I want to pay for this product. You are not letting me. Then Napster came along, and then it became free. So like, why am I would rather pay nothing. My first choice is paying a dollar for this song. You're not letting me have that. So now my choices are $0 or $18. I'm paying zero. It's closer to one. And then you have to have iTunes and Spotify. And all of a sudden, the record label was like, okay, crap, we can't beat this technology. Now we have to completely restructure how we produce and distribute music. And there's more music now than ever before at the press of a button. And it's going to be the same thing, watch, with Twitter and Facebook and all these other things. It's like there's no reason whatsoever that Twitter is going to be where it is in 10 years. Or even that the idea of a tweet, it used to be 140 characters. Already that's changed. So I think this is going to be a great, great thing because these people keep shooting themselves in the foot. But now, increasingly, they're being called out on their bullshit immediately. And not that many people are defending them because it's just talking points of a corporation that doesn't give a shit about anyone, especially quality conversation. Now, some good news. Talking about dinosaurs like Twitter, new findings indicate that resurrecting mammoths is not a fantasy. Cell nuclei extracted from a 20,000-year-old woolly mammoth were discovered to retain some function. That's Snuffleupagus. I don't believe he's real.
I thought it was Alf.
When placed in... Oh, do not look up what happened to Alf's dad in real life. That actor... look up his name. Who played the dad in Alf?
Willie,
but the actor's name. He used to smoke crack and go down on the homeless. So he did, in terms of Hollywood actors who didn't have a good day, I think he takes the cake. And I don't mean in a Mitt Romney, like, Twinkie cake kind of way. I mean, like, crackhead homeless blowjobs kind of way. What's his name? Yeah, him. Yeah.
Max Wright?
Yeah, Max Wright. Nothing right there. So when placed in the ova of mice, the mammoth nuclei developed to a state just before cellular division. This is from a paper published just this Monday in British Journal Scientific Reports. The team doing this research had members from the Japanese and Russian universities. They've been working for about 20 years on a project to use cloning to resurrect mammoths. And mammoths, as we all know, has been long extinct. Actually, I think mammoths lived until like 500 AD or even 1500 AD. There's an island off the coast of... Look this up. There's an island off the coast of California where there were these dwarf mammoths. And they lived for much longer than anyone realized. It was really, really cool to learn about this. Now, the cell nuclei used in the team's recent findings were extracted from the musculature and other tissue from Yuka. That's Yuka pictured there, who is a 3.5-meter-long female woolly mammoth excavated nearly intact in 2010 from permafrost in Siberia. And when inserted into mouse ova, 5 out of 43 nuclei were observed to develop to a point just before they would split in two as a result of cell division. And these nuclei contain DNA. And mouse ova have been confirmed in experiments to have a reparative function for DNA. God, if they make some kind of mammoth-mouse hybrid, I don't even know what that would look like. What do you get if you cross a mammoth and a mouse? I don't know, but you better keep it away from your ass. It's said to be possible that the mammoth's DNA, which had been damaged as a result of being frozen for so long, was repaired and its biological functions invigorated. However, the pre-division development stopped before completion in all the ova. So as one scientist said, Yuka's cell nuclei were more damaged than we thought, and it would be difficult to resurrect a mammoth as things stand. There's a chance if we can obtain better preserved nuclei. Honestly, there's so many cells in a fucking mammoth that they're going to have to get like some kind of supercomputer or whatever and look at every single cell, but there will be that one cell that will have what you need. I say this because I'm a scientist. Now, a professor of reproductive biology said this can be praised as a first step in research toward the dream of resurrecting extinct ancient animals. I hope they can determine to what extent the DNA was repaired and how much activity there was. What was the year?
What was the question?
The mammoths that lived off the coast of California that lived on for like a few centuries, and now I'm on Echo.
Were you saying that? Because all the stuff I find about pygmy mammoths
That's the one.
The channel, they're all already dead.
I know they're dead. I'm just saying they became extinct much later than the regular other mammoths.
Okay, let me look more into it then.
It should be on the Mammoth Wikipedia at the very first paragraph. All right, while we look into that, let's get on to the Ann Coulter story, because this is a big, big deal. Coulter, you guys remember Trump went after her, calling her a wacky nut job. She issued a put up or shut up demand yesterday to President Trump and challenged him to identify exactly where his administration has erected new border barriers between the U.S. and Mexico. Did you find that info?
It says that they were extinct during the Quaternary extinction event.
But the dwarfs.
Yeah, this is the pygmy mammoth.
Okay. Which is when? If you click on that link, it'll tell you when the dates are that Quaternary extinction event.
Period 2.58 plus or minus 0.0005 million years ago. So about 3 million years ago.
No.
2.5 million years ago.
No, because this mammoth's 25,000 years old, so they were extinct much more recently. Anyway, it doesn't matter. Trump claimed Saturday on Twitter that major sections of the wall are being built, and he tweeted a day earlier that the wall, quote, is being built and is well under construction. So again, it's gone from, we will build the wall and Mexico will pay for it, to the wall just got 10 feet higher, to I'm shutting down this government unless there's a wall, to, oh, we've been building it this whole time. Now, Coulter told the Daily Mail in an email she wants detail. She goes, quote, the president's tweet says he's already building the wall. Could he give me the precise latitude and longitude of its direction, of its location? Also, how many miles long is it? I want to throw a party there and need the exact coordinates. The president first began to claim limited success with his ambitious project in fall of 2017, tweeting out that construction consisted of new renovation of old and existing fences and walls. 15 months later, he said that his administration had already built large new sections and fully renovated others. Because when people said, we will build the wall, what he meant was, we will fix the wall. That's what building and fixing are synonyms. Just look it up. Now, on Monday, she also said, in a speech, one positive of his presidency was the total destruction of the lying media. And let's listen to her words. She said, Trump may be a shallow, narcissistic con man, but that doesn't mean the media are not the enemy of the people. I like it that she uses the plural. Both things can be true. This was at the Kravis Center in West Palm Beach to an audience of around 600 people. And Trump had repeatedly, as we all know, condemned the media as fake news and as enemy of the people. This and Coulter, you know, who's had it with him after he had agreed to a spending package of funds for this long-promised border wall, reiterated her stance against the president in her speech. She compared his shift to that of George H.W. Bush during the 92 campaign and his presidency between 88 and 92. The first George Bush, for example, read my lips, no new taxes. Okay. He said it one time at the convention, one time. Trump talked about building the wall at least once a day for 18 months. She said, if Trump's base isn't energized in 2020, a nightmare scenario could take place. This feud is only going to get uglier and uglier. Because if you read her book, Adios America, and I talk about this in my book, her point is the Democrats or the left only has to win once and the country's ruined. And immigration is literally the only issue that matters. So she is not going to drop this shit before 2020. She's not one of those people who's a moderate or a particular. She is much more interested in her ideology than in her partisanship. She's just much more beholden to her views. I don't want to say beholden, but her views than, like, say, making sure the Republican Party wins. She said good things about Hillary Clinton. Hillary Clinton was asked about it. This is before Trump ran and kind of laughed. So she's going to keep hitting him. And God knows what's going to happen, but it's sure going to be funny. Chaos in the UK, chaos in the US. But for now, I will wish you all a pleasant sleep and sweet dreams. We got some big bottles.